everybody. Hello. Come on in. Grab a seat. Time for church to start. Make sure all the kids are in from outside, please. Make sure they're not running around outside anymore. It is good to have you tonight. Come on in. Happy Wednesday. How many are glad to be able to come to church on a Wednesday night? Let me see. Good. Well, I'm glad you're here, too. A couple quick things. Obviously, the kids are with us for worship, so if you own a child, make sure that child's with you. All right? Make sure you know where your kids are. Second thing is, tonight is youth hangout, so when worship's over, we have kids' church. We also have youth hangout for 5th to 12th grade, and they can follow Chamberlain. He's got youth hangout tonight. Don't forget also, we're building what we call our kitchen team. So if you're interested in being part of a team that makes coffee and makes food for different events, even breakfast when we do it at times, if you're interested in that, please sign up at the back and we'll get a hold of you actually in the next couple weeks and start to get that thing moving, all right? And then last but not least, before we worship, don't forget we got Good Friday and Easter Sunday coming up, Resurrection Sunday. I'm excited about that, so make plans to be with us for those times. We'll give you more details about that on Sunday. God is worthy of our praise. God is worthy of our devotion, our allegiance. You know what the world does? The world is full of things that fight for your attention. The world is full of things that fight for your allegiance. It fights for your devotion. And what we do is we come together, unified as a family of faith, and we spend time worshiping God. You're reminding yourself first that you're not God. That's why you worship Him. Secondly, it's another aspect of expression, your devotion and your allegiance, and even into that, your wonder and your awe, because God is so wonderful and He is so good and He's so worthy of our praise. Amen. So how about we stand up tonight? And let's spend some time praise and worshiping together in this house.
And as the Spirit was moving over the water, the Spirit come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, the Spirit come move over us. Come rest on us.
Holy Spirit, come rest on. Thank you. birds of the air, how should we worry when they may not need to worry? Just come and have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're so glad to have you here with us. If you would, go around and greet some of your family of faith this evening and kids and youth, you're dismissed.
Downstairs at this time. If you have something to give, you can prep that. Offering envelopes or the chairs in front of you. If not, Drew will help you out. Wave your hand around and he'll get you an envelope. But it's good to have you. I'm sorry?
It's not very loud.
They'll get me. We got professional sound dudes. They'll fix us. No worries. We got it. You know, I was thinking, I looked outside and I'm going to have to mow the yard. It's terrible. It's already started. I was talking with Dave about it beforehand. Here it comes. It's coming fast. So, that's good, right? You guys ready for it? Although it's supposed to get cold again this weekend, is that correct? I'm not speaking it into existence. I'm just saying what the forecast said. Don't be angry at me. I'm not controlling this thing, or we'd have 5 feet of snow out there right now. So, be thankful for that. All right, again, your giving is appreciated, and your faithfulness to the house. And I just always believe that you will give what the Lord puts on your heart to give. And I know if you listen to that, we're going to be fine and dandy. And then God will go above and beyond and not only give us wisdom and teach us stewardship, but then he will always do more than we could do with it anyways, right? And it's not just for what you see in the building, but what we do outside of the church, but the aspect of the kingdom of God grows in a lot of different ways. And not everything takes money, but some does. Amen? So as you give, we appreciate your giving and your faithfulness, and we just always know that God is going to provide. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you to be able to come together on this Wednesday night and worship and be together. And I pray as we give tonight, again, it's worship, and we're giving back to you in honor of the increase that you provide for us, Lord. And we are so grateful for the goodness you bestow into our lives in so many different ways, including our finances. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, we all say,
amen.
Amen. So if you have something, you can bring it. And don't forget, Easter's coming, Resurrection Sunday. If you know people that do not attend church, I think I saw something the other day. Maybe not the other day. Maybe it's been a little bit. I'm trying to think in my mind when it was. On a day like Christmas Eve,
if we do like Christmas Eve service like we do, or a Sunday like Easter Sunday, I think the statistic is that 80% of people that are invited to a church on those days respond yes. So, I'm just encouraging you, if you know somebody that does not attend church, invite them on Easter Sunday, because not only they will come together with our family of faith, but the gospel will be preached to them, and there will be an invitation for them to know Jesus as their Savior and all that stuff. So invite people out, and we look forward to what's coming up that Sunday. All right, Galatians chapter 5, if you have your Bibles. We're still in the fruit of the Spirit, where we're going to continue tonight. So Galatians chapter 5, and let's start verse 17. I think Jonathan's back there on the computer. He does a phenomenal job for us. Thank you, Jonathan. Galatians 5, 17. The sound team does great. Chris does a great job. Kids Church does great. Aren't you thankful for Kids Church?
Yes.
That you get a break, but they're not down there being babysat. They're being taught the Bible and built in the faith, and they're partnering with you with what you're doing at home. Amen. All right, Galatians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other." In other words, they're at war with one another. "To keep you from doing things that you want to do." And that's what the flesh. Now, here's the thing. So the flesh wants to drag you into sin. And in our desires are the things you think you want to do, but ultimately you know you shouldn't. And the Spirit's trying to tell you these are things you shouldn't drag yourself into. But the Spirit is trying to take you a different way, and that is certainly into the things that are of God. Verse 18, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." And the whole Mosaic law, that's a big thing in the book of Galatians. We won't get into that. Galatians is sort of the more tense dealing with the law, as Romans is kind of the very nice way Paul tries to go about it with the Roman church. What was going on in Galatia, he was not having it. So you can see some of that as he writes, some of the things that he writes in the book of Galatians. But anyways, verse 19, "The works of the flesh are evident." In other words, when the flesh is having its way, things show up like this: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Now, that is not an all-inclusive list of sin. Paul is always a list maker. If you read the letters at Paul, he's always making lists, and sometimes he writes very dense. He says a lot in just a few short sentences. These are probably things that he's getting reports back that are going on among the body of believers in this the grouping of churches that this letter went to. And Paul says this, "I warn you," so in other words, he's talked to these people before, "as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, but, and here there's a connector. Now, but, those are the working of the flesh, but here is the working of the Spirit, or here is the growth of the Spirit. Here is the evidence of the Spirit. Fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let's not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. All right, so if you want to overcome sin in your life, do what? Grow. I'm telling you, listen to me. Everybody look at me, right? Square in my face. If you want to overcome sin in your life, grow. There's no other answer. Notice what Paul says there. How many of you belong to Christ? Your flesh has already been crucified with him. What more do you need when it comes to your flesh? Has your flesh been crucified with him? Yes. Well, where's the evidence? You haven't grown. You can't just stop sinning. Because if you just try to stop sinning, you'll keep sinning. If you want to stop sinning, and you can because your flesh has been crucified, and you have the Holy Spirit to help you, then you must grow. If you don't grow, then the works of the flesh will still be evident. There is no other answer. And that's why Paul wrote what he did here. He just puts them right together there. Notice the word that's in between, but. Works of the flesh, fruit of the Spirit. They're opposite. Paul's writing, the flesh wants to do one thing, the Spirit wants to do the other. The flesh wants to keep you in sin, and the Spirit wants you to grow. Right? But here's what you don't want to hear. Growth takes time. And most of us don't want to put in the consistency to see it. Because we want easy answers. We want to pray a simple prayer, and oh, I'm relieved, and I'm out of it, and it's never going to be a problem again. Okay, great, wonderful. Got to grow. If you're not growing, it'll still be there. The works of the flesh are replaced by the fruit of the Spirit. Again, Paul's making another list. Characteristics, qualities of the nature of God. So here's the key to growth. I'm going to give you the key right here. Consistency. You must learn to develop a consistency, a rhythm of life that affords the opportunity for growth in your life through the seasons of your life. As life changes and circumstance changes and everything changes over time, you must learn to be consistent. In what? The things that help you grow. The Word. Prayer. Prayer. The primary purpose of prayer isn't to get God to do stuff for you. The primary purpose of prayer is to be formed by Him. Pray. Church. The church is for the equipping of the saints. It helps you grow. Quality friendships help you grow. Friendships that spur you on to love and good deeds, as the Bible says, that help you grow. Accountability in your life, listening and obeying the conviction of the Holy Spirit. All these things, the consistency of your life. That is why the kingdom of God is like a seed that is sown that grows into a plant. It grows. That is why the kingdom of God is like the yeast being worked through the dough. It's got to get worked through. It takes time. Listen to me. I've been a Christian since I've been 17. I'm still growing. I haven't attained it yet. I'm still pressing on to the upward goal, the upward call in Christ Jesus. Until the day I die, and it's why I love about the older generation here in church, bringing their Bibles, taking notes, showing up week after week, because they're telling you they haven't attained it yet. As old as they are, they're still growing. Stay consistent. Because the flesh is worked out that is crucified because you grow. See, there's no other answer. So in other words, when it comes to these things, there is no easy button, but that's what we want. We want an easy button. There's no easy button. Grow. And you must war against your flesh. You got to deny it when it pops up. You got to ask for the help of the Holy Spirit because you can't do it on your own. It's not your willpower. It's not that you're so great and so strong. It's because He is so great and strong. That's why it's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of Lori or the fruit of Margo or the fruit of Tish. It's the fruit of the Spirit that works itself out in Lori and in Margo and in Tish. See what I'm getting at? So we got to be people who grow. It's the challenge. Be consistent. And growth will happen. Is growth always just this even upward? No, it's fits and starts. It's ups and downs. It's bloody knees when you fall down and you get back up. But we grow. That's why you got to stay consistent. Amen? See what I'm getting at? Challenge. All right, we're on gentleness tonight. Oh, my goodness. Gentleness. Now, remember, I said this last week. Paul did not write the fruit of the Spirit while he was in a vacuum. In other words, there was nothing bad happening in Paul's life, and he was having a wonderful night one night, and he decided, well, I'm going to write some frilly-sounding stuff about God. So he writes, what it means to be like God is love and joy and peace. And No. Paul went through a lot. And here's the thing. This is something we need to catch as believers. Paul went through a lot, and he was not jaded by what he went through. Mark that down. So much so that he's still right, and the Christian life will show love, and show joy, and show forth peace, and will show forth patience, and kindness, all the way through to self-control. The trials of Paul's life, which, by the way, completely 110% happened to him because he was sharing the gospel, amen, didn't jade him. To say the fruit of the Spirit is getting mad when you want to and whipping your sword out when you feel like it, and now it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. It didn't change. And in this list is the word gentleness. Gentleness is a certain temperament that you have. Gentleness is the opposite of harsh. And it kind of shows up. Gentleness is sort of how you handle things. Listen, so our youth pastor at the Botkins Church, Pastor Tim, and his wife Bethany had a baby last week, right? And they brought it to the office yesterday for us to see. His little guy's name is Ezra. He's number 4. Who we got? Quinn and Maya and Micah and Ezra. And Tim said, you want to hold Ezra? I said, no. You got to be gentle. And it's not that I'm not gentle, but you know what I'm saying. They want to roughhouse a little bit, send Ezra to me. Right, but the little guy that's just a week old, I'm saying, I'll just look at him, you know. Handle with care, right? We're called to handle life and others with care. Gentleness, not harsh, not haphazard, not flippantly, but a temperament of how we approach life. Now, again, Paul didn't write this in a vacuum when he was having a great day and nothing was going on in his life. He was whipped and beaten and stoned, shipwrecked. I'm not sure how all that stuff happened before or after he wrote this, but the point is, before he wrote this, he went through a lot. He went through a lot afterwards, and it didn't jade him that he still would say one of the characteristics of living a Christian life is to be gentle. Now, to kind of prove the point, I'm going to go through 5 passages of Scripture that talk about gentleness, just to show you that Paul just wasn't making this up. Titus chapter 3. We're going to run around the Scriptures a little bit tonight. Titus chapter 3 and verse number 1. Says, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, so quit fighting. Right here, to be gentle. Watch this wording, to show perfect courtesy towards all. Notice that word all, not just believers, but all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. Notice again, 2 contrasting lists. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, again, a lot there. You can be this way because Jesus saved you as you were, and he is the way that he is. In other words, that's what Paul's saying. And one of the things that you are called to be because Jesus saved you the way he saved you is to be gentle. Here's another one, 1 Peter. So that's Paul so far, and we'll get back to Paul in a minute. But how about Peter? Peter, very brash. Sometimes letting his words run out of his mouth in a way that's not much filter going on. 1 Peter chapter number 3. Remember when they came to arrest Jesus in the garden? What did Peter do? Now if you notice, the synoptic gospels say somebody cut off the ear of the servant and high priest with the sword. John says it was Peter. John outs Peter. Everybody else said it was nameless, but John tells you who it is. Now you read what Peter's about to write, you contrast that moment with what he writes here. By the way, do you know what the very last miracle of Jesus was? A little side note. The last miracle of Jesus was to heal that ear of somebody who was arresting him about to crucify him. Think about that. Then you set it on your heart a little bit. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, bless, for this you were called, that you may attain a blessing. In other words, you reap what you sow. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? Well, there are. So, but even if you suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. And always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason that the hope that is in you. Now watch this. How do you do that? Yet do it with gentleness, and respect. Have a good conscience. So even when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. When you are sharing the reason for the hope that you have, in other words, you're taking the gospel to unbelievers, do it with gentleness and respect. Just because they're not saved doesn't mean you get to act how you want. Peter says so right there. I think sometimes when we see this, well, we can be gentle with people in the church. When we get out in the world, though, those vile sinners, I'm telling you what, gentleness and respect. Isn't that right? That's what Peter's telling us to do. So share your faith with gentleness. Handle with care. Philippians chapter 4. Let's go back to Paul. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness. That's another word for gentleness. Other translations have gentleness there. Let your gentleness be known to who? Everyone. In other words, if the fruit of the Spirit is growing in your life, you will be less harsh with words, attitudes, actions, facial expressions, body language, responses when you're wrong, how you act when things don't go your way. You realize that a lot is said about you and how you react when things don't go your way. And you should be known rather for this, gentleness. That you handle people and situations with the temperament of care. See that? All right, how about another one? Ephesians chapter 4. I'm sorry, no, that's the last one. One more in between. 1 Timothy 3. Here we find qualifications for those who are in leadership in the church, overseers, deacons, and the like. We'll pick up mid-sentence right here. An overseer of the church should never be a drunkard. There's somebody who gets drunk, controls that stuff, not given to it. Watch this. Not violent, but what? Gentle. Not quarrelsome. Not a lover of money. And there's some other stuff there, but I'm just highlighting. When I look for somebody that I would consider a leader in the church to help oversee the church, I always look to whether or not they're gentle. And I will never put somebody in an authoritative position that don't handle things with care. And you know where it starts? Are you gentle with your spouse? Starts at home. Ministry starts at home. Are you gentle in situations, again, when things don't go your way or somebody's not being gentle towards you? How do you respond? I watch for those things. Because I will not put people over other people that will not handle people in care, with care, regardless of the situation that's happening. Right? So, qualifications for leadership in the church, you have to be gentle. All right, Ephesians chapter 2. Let's go where I was just going. I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. I'm sorry, Jonathan, I'm messing you up. Let's start with verse 1. Jonathan, jump back there. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, again, Paul writing, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling for which you have been called. Here's qualifications for walking in a manner worthy of callings. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift, and so on. One of the ways that you count yourself worthy of the callings of life is you learn to be gentle. You grow in it. So in other words, gentleness cannot be absent from the life of the believer. People get in quarrelsome arguments that bring division because of a lack of gentleness and handling with care. Can we discuss things? Sure. Can we disagree? Absolutely. Do we have to fight about it? No. Do we have to allow division to come in? No. Maturity needs to show up. Correct? One more. Matthew chapter 11. Where does this all stem from? Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. I think you all are familiar with this passage right here. Jesus is saying this. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am what? Gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God calls us to him in Jesus, and he calls us in a very gentle way. Come to me, and when you come, I'm going to give you rest. And everybody wants it. It's big picture salvation. It's an eschatological look at eternity. And part of the nature of Jesus that draws us in is gentle. Why are we called to be gentle? Right there. That's why, right there. Remember, you cannot take the gospel to the world outside in the way that Jesus did himself. If you do, it's a man-made way. I don't care what you think you're getting at. It's a man-made way because it's not the way of Jesus. So stop. It's actually of your own thinking. And chances are your flesh is involved. Stop. Learn to be gentle. Learn to be gentle. Grow. Does it take time? Yep, takes time. See, you have to get, again, to, we were talking about this a little bit ago. You have to get to the why behind the what. The what is growing gentleness. But why? You have to learn to catch the heart of God or you'll miss the whole thing. Why do I have to be gentle when everybody else is just mean as snakes? If you really want to know the answer to that, get to know the heart of God. Why do I have to respond with gentleness and respect when they're so mean? You'll never understand unless you're chasing the heart of God. I think we see these things and we don't think they're attainable, or we think, well, that doesn't work in our world today. And when we say that, I guarantee it's because you're not really chasing the heart of God. When you chase the heart of God, you'll start to see his heart and you'll start to see these things and you'll start to go, even though it's hard, even though it always doesn't make sense, but yes, that's the way God works. Well, Jesus is coming back on the white horse with the tattoo and he's going to come with the big, that's when he comes in perfect judgment. That's not you. Gentleness. Right? Well, Jesus was in the temple flipping tables. I just want to flip tables. Okay, well, when you were called in prophetic measure to bring prophetic judgment on the temple system, which he came to fulfill, the law and the prophets, then go do that. But that's not you. He had a whip. It's not you. Gentleness. Right? And we try to go outside because of our excuses, and we end up in what Jesus said to James and John, you don't know what spirit you are of. When did he say that to them? Let's call down fire from heaven and burn up the Samaritan village. We're going to do it like Elijah. He rebuked them. He's trying to teach them something. Be gentle. Do you realize it takes a lot of strength of the Spirit to be gentle? It's actually weak to be the other way. It takes a lot of maturity in the Spirit to be gentle. It takes a lot of immaturity to be the other way. Right? Growth. You can stand for Jesus in all the ways in the world you need to stand for him and still be gentle. They are not opposite to one another. Sometimes they are thinking they are, but they're not. Because God is saving the world today the same he did when he died on the cross. Has not changed. Not going to change. What if we find ourselves smack dab in the middle of the tribulation, the book of Revelation, and love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Because if you just decide to be like the world, you may miss it. Right? Listen, I'm challenging you. Challenging your heart. Rewire your thinking. This is what it means to renew your mind. You got to think differently. With all the things that are coming up in our world, we got an election year this fall. It's going to be nasty. You can vote for who you want, but love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Doesn't change. Right? Please catch this in your heart. So we talk about self-control next week. Self-control weaves back into all of these in a certain way. So when you are harsh, you're not only lacking gentleness, you're lacking self-control. When you blow off in anger, you're not just lacking kindness in the moment, you're lacking self-control. We got to, listen, In our world today, we need the maturity of the Christian faith. And it shows up in stuff like this. Don't come at me with all your strength because all this stuff. I want to see maturity. I want to see growth. I want to see people who don't want to live like the world. Happens because we grow. Amen? All right. Sorry if I'm ranting a little bit. But I get frustrated. I get frustrated as a pastor because I'll guarantee how many of you grew up in the church? Let me see. You heard of the fruit of the Spirit then since you were this big. That's why I get frustrated. Because we all want people, let's teach about deep things. Can we just work on the fruit of the Spirit? Maybe. Forget the rest of it. You see what I'm getting at? You've known this stuff since you were this big. What have you been doing for the last 25 years? You know what I mean? This is when the pastor wants to just gently shake you. Listen to me. You know what I'm saying? Listen to me. Grow. And when you have a moment where you're harsh and you're not gentle, apologize. And step back and say, Holy Spirit, I need help. And you know what? He'll start to help you. You start to grow, right? And you'll find yourself a different person in time. Amen? All right. Whew. Let's pray. I'm just going to quit right there. I preach harder about the fruit of the Spirit than I do a lot of stuff. I'll be honest with you. It just riles me up a little bit. Anyways. Oh, Lord, help us. Lord, I pray that we grow. I pray the evidence of the activity of the Holy Spirit is in our lives. Yes, Lord, our flesh has been crucified. We're saved. We're marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit. But Lord, I pray we grow. I pray we grow. And our gentleness is evident to all. Strong in you, steadfast in you, not movable. Not being tossed to and fro by the winds and the waves of the sea and the world around us. We're persevering. But when people see that perseverance, it's marked by the evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. So I thank you, Lord, that the fruit of the Spirit are attainable. Because, well, God, you can do anything. And you would not have marked things out for us that we could not attain. So, Lord, I pray in a certain sense we kind of get over ourselves a little bit and turn ourselves over to you and allow you to do these wonderful things in us as we journey with you. So help us, Lord. I thank you for that. I thank you for the evidence of your work in our lives. In Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Amen. All right, come on out Sunday. We'll continue our Easter series. Be blessed as you go. If you have prayer needs, come on down. Love to pray with you tonight. But have a wonderful rest of the week.